going to talk about credit card frustration in just a moment. But believe me, there's enough frustration to go around. All this week, we have a new series called Frustration Nation. We're going to take a look at the gridlock in Congress and the anger coming from voters. Are you frustrated by how the government is running or not running in Washington? Rebecca in Northville, Michigan writes, I am simply disgusted with everyone in Washington and could care less about their political affiliation. So my takeaway in just six words, clean out the House and the Senate. Give us your take on the gridlock in Washington at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can also post to our website, thetakeaway.org. But let's get back to frustration over credit cards and whether or not this new law is going to fix it. It's called CARD. That stands for Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act. And President Obama signed it back in April.
Mysterious fees appear on statements. Payment deadlines shift. Terms change. Interest rates rise. And suddenly a credit card becomes less of a lifeline and more of an anchor.
So, is this law going to fix all of that that the president talked about? Here to sort it out for us is our takeaway contributors and personal finance experts, Beth Kobliner. Good morning, Beth.
Hi.
Good morning. And Alvin Hall rejoins us.
Good morning.
Beth Kobliner, let's ask you first. Do you think this bill is actually going to help consumers in real, tangible ways?
I really think it will. I mean, it's interesting because I've been doing this for 20 years, and this is the first time we have really any meaningful legislation when it comes to credit cards, and Congress and senators have been talking about this for so long, and it really did take President Obama, when he came in and he was so popular, to kind of move this along. Things have changed since, but at the time, he really did use a lot of political capital to make this happen. But now, everybody's writing about, oh, it's not good in this way, and it's not good in that way. But I think the real takeaway this morning is there are a lot of good changes in here that people want to pay attention to. Because if you just say, oh, well, it doesn't have this and it doesn't have that, you're going to miss the bottom line, which is there are a lot of ways to save yourself money
if
you know the new rules.
Let's get into those. Let's give me the two most important changes you think that'll help people out.
I think one of the most important is that if you're under 21 years old now, you won't be able to get a credit card unless you have a job. That's a new concept. Or you have a parent co-sign your credit card. Up until now, college kids have been bombarded with credit cards. They have, on average, $4,100 in credit card debt. That's not going to happen anymore. The other big one is what Alvin was saying before. They can't raise interest rates on debt you've already racked up, except if you're late by 60 days. So if you have a credit card that has a rate of 10% and you've, you know, racked up thousands of dollars of debt on that card, they can't go back to you and say, okay, now we're going to charge you 20% on that debt, unless you've been late on that debt by over 60 days. Now they can charge you higher rates for new debt, but for that old debt, they can't switch the rules unless you're very, very late.
Okay, so Alvin, one of the things that many people have talked about is how credit cards end up affecting your credit score.
Oh, yes.
And this bill was expected to address that as well. This is something that a caller had to say about it.
I was talking to Bank of America yesterday because of a letter we received. We have over a 700 credit score, never paid a bill partially, always in full, and they decided to half our credit availability.
Okay, that's Philomena from Westchester. She talked about two things in her
yes.
call. Not only did they chop her available credit in half, but they also made a kind of specious report to the credit reporting company.
That happened to me. I got my credit availability cut almost in half.
Yeah, they've been going through and just widespread saying these people are a group that we view as at risk. They don't tell you why you're at risk. They don't say what reason they're going to do this. They just put you all together and then slash your credit cards, and they have to give no reason for that. I saw this happen in the UK and the U.S., especially at the beginning of the credit crisis, firms like Citibank just whack people's credit lines down to almost nothing.
And
there's nothing you can do about it.
Does this bill fix that?
No, the bill doesn't really fix that. They can still lower your credit availability. What they can't raise is your interest on the credit card. But you know, Celeste, I have a statement that I think is always true, whether it's in the credit card industry or the banking industry. Where there is money, there is always creativity. There's somebody out there thinking of another way to get money, and the banks are thinking of that. And what we will see is a period I call fee madness. Everything will cost you something. If you miss a payment and you want your points reinstated on your American Express card, $29, and you have a reinstatement fee. The annual fees are now tiered depending upon which credit card you get. You get fees for virtually everything you want to do on a credit card. That's the way they're trying to make up the money, but that they're losing because they can't increase your interest rates.
So, Beth, one of the big things that's been touted in this particular bill is talking about not overdraft fees, because these aren't checking accounts, but when you go over your limit,
yeah,
that now you
right.
have to sign a statement before they'll let you go over your limit.
Which is, again, another very good thing, I think, because it used to be, 10 years ago, if you had a credit card, you go to a restaurant and you charge more than you actually, you go beyond your credit limit, you get embarrassed, and the waiter says, I'm sorry, you're over your credit limit, and you get embarrassed, and you have to get another card. And now, what they've done in the last 5 years, the credit card company said, hey, we can make even more money by having people go over their credit limits. We'll charge them a fee for it, and we'll be happy if they go over the limit, because we'll charge them higher interest. So now, the good thing about the rule is the only way you can be allowed to go over your limit is to sign a form saying, yes, allow me to go over the limit. So the takeaway is don't ever opt for the right to go over your credit limit because it's too costly. And the just one thing I want to say is that I think the most important point of this is what Alvin started to say, and you were saying, Celeste, it is so crazy complicated. I mean, I read these articles. It's crazy. You have to watch what interest rate your variable rate card is pegged to. The bottom line to all of this is don't carry a balance on your credit card. Don't spend the money you don't have. If you follow that rule, if you try to pay it down and don't live beyond your means, you don't have to pay attention to most of these details. It's true. Some credit card companies are cutting people off. People with great credit scores, great credit histories. But if you're not living right to the edge, not living beyond your means, then that won't affect you as much. So the point of all this is don't rely on your credit card to live your life.
Okay, Beth Koblenner, takeaway contributor, author of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. Alvin Hall, also a takeaway contributor, author of Your Money or Your Life, and the host of the new BBC World News TV series, Alvin's Guide to Good Business. And my advice, of course, is always... don't carry a credit card.
Pay it off.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.